Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships and persecution and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lately, we all have been touched by a downfall in the economy. I don't know of anyone that has not been personally affected in one way or another. The problem is that where many of us stand today is a very familiar place. We have been standing here for a long time. Have you ever wondered what Jesus meant when he said in Mark 14:7, "You always will have the poor with you, and you can do what is good for them whenever you want, but you do not always have me." Having worked with missions and outreach, I've often wondered, and I actually struggle identifying who's the poor. And in this area, it's always hard because we tend to have a preconception of who the poor is. So these are some of the things that I learned, and I want to share them with you. Over the past few years, I've come to the conclusion that our society lives in constant state of discontentment. This makes all of our society poor. Why? Because we're not happy with our leaders, with our spouse, with our children, or things that we have. The things that we have acquired, they're not enough. Our house is too small, our TV is not smart enough, and our smartphone doesn't have the latest 4G technology. So what's a person to do in order to find contentment or happiness in such a restless world? And why can we seem to find the contentment that we have been looking for? Many of us are trying to fill a void of some kind in our lives. And unfortunately, we try to fill that void with things that can't satisfy. We look to fill the void with possessions or money, but we only end up wanting more. We try to fill it with relationships, but we end up feeling even more empty and depressed than when we started. Do you ever wonder who the poor is around you? Do you think that the poor lives in trailer parks, rent instead of owning their home, ride the bus instead of having a car? Is the poor in the food line or at the dealer's line? The educated or the one that does not know how to read? All right. How do you identify the poor around you? I think the poor can be any of us when we are not satisfied with what God has given us today. When we take for granted our getting up in the morning, when we always want bigger and better, regardless of how big and better we already have it. We're always in a perpetual search. Have you noticed how society is trying to sell us stuff all the time? Even to these times right now that the stores are closed, you know, they certainly let us know that we can order online. And it's not all that difficult to do because we're so unsatisfied with what we have. Will you agree that the discontentment is our default setting in life? We just simply want more. Capitalizing on our inherent dissatisfaction, the worldwide marketing machine spends around $450 billion annually to make us unhappy. Unhappy with who we are, with what we have, with how we look, and with what we do. At its core, most advertising is designed to make us ungrateful and actually to feed our greed. I read an article from a study called Social Comparison, Advertising and Consumer Discontent this week. It said, consumers encounter countless advertising images during the course of everyday life. Many of these images are idolized, representing lives more as it is imagined than as it actually is. Repeated exposure to idealized images raises consumers' expectations and influences their perception of how their lives ought to be, particularly in terms of their material possessions. The result of both this process for some consumers is discontent and an increased desire for more. And then I added to the article, and major debt with your credit cards. I also came across the summary of a study called Merchants of Discontent. This one really, really caught my attention. In this article, the author writes, in this paper, I attempt to draw parallels between the psychology of commercial advertising and the marketing and the psychology of addiction. Both appear to be characterized by denial, escapism, narcissism, isolation, greed, impatience, and diminished sensitivity. Advertising appeals to these impulses, and addiction is marked by them. Or we could say that advertising simply capitalizes on the desires of our hearts. That reminds me of something I heard some time ago. We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. But we do. Arthur Rob Kuban wrote, "The Bible calls us to allow our convictions, not our circumstances, to govern our sense of contentment. True biblical contentment is a conviction that Christ's power, purpose, and provision is sufficient for every circumstance. We are to learn how to walk through all kinds of adversity, believing in and experiencing Christ's sufficiency. We have to choose to rest on God's good promises, despite what we might be going on around in our lives. Basically, despite of what the market says. True contentment comes from accepting Christ and having faith that in Him you will have everything you need. Christ is enough, and His promises are enough. If you allow discontent to creep in, then no matter what you have, it will never, ever be enough. Your stuff will never satisfy you. Your relationships will never be good enough. You will always want something that you don't have. If you find yourself saying or thinking these words, if only I had, fill in the blank, people, you may have a problem with discontentment. You may think that if you had a better income, a better family, a better phone, a better church, a better car, a husband or a better one, a wife or a better one, more kids, less kids, a better sports team to root for, then you would be happy. Guess what? That is not true. If you're not satisfied with what you have now, today, at this moment, you won't be satisfied, should you get what you're wishing for. And that is because every time we get what we're wishing for, instead of sitting back and enjoying it and saying, thank you, Lord, and just basking in the miracle of getting it, we raised the bar. We said, well, you know, we were able to afford this, you know, and to do this, well, how about, and then you go on to the next thing. I know you might be thinking, well, I'm not like that. And no, consciously you're not. You're truly a loving, generous church. But let me mention some things that fall under the description of discontentment. Your discontent if you're grumbling and complaining. If you're allowing the circumstances of today to fill you with anxiety and fear about the future. If you're allowing the market, the news, whichever channel you're watching, whichever predictions for the economy you're watching, if you allow that to determine your future, you are living in discontent. When you're obsessed with your possessions, when your way is the best way and the only way, you're living in discontent. When you become stingy with what God has given you, when God is getting your leftovers, not your first fruits, but your leftovers, you're living in discontentment. When we love things and use people rather than using things and loving people, you're living in discontentment. Now I have told you what discontentment looks like. Now I'll tell you what contentment looks like. Contentment is being confident that God is in control. Even at this moment, He's in control. An inner sense of rest or peace that comes from being right with God and knowing that He is in control of all that is happening to us and around us. It's kind of hard for us not to look at the statistics. It's hard for me. Every time I want to do something, I have to be looking at these other components to make sure that I am being as safe as I can be and that the people around me will be as safe as they can be. I'm also worried about the economy. I raised 6 children and didn't start saving for retirement until very late in life. I certainly can feel the pain of seeing investments going down and not having the lifespan that they say in the news, well, just give it another 10, 20 years, it'll go back up. That might not be for all of us. But we still have to grow, and we still have to know that God is in control. Everything is under God's sweet sovereignty, and because His ways are always wise, we can find delight in every condition that we find ourselves in, with little or with much, especially when we don't understand how we got to where we are, like right now. If you're struggling with discontent today, it may well be because you're not allowing God to be God in your life. He is in charge and He is working all things together according to the counsel of His divine will for you. For each one of you, for each one of you within the sound of my voice. Everything, even though you cannot see it and it doesn't look like, He is working it together according to His perfect will. If you're serious about becoming content, you must believe that possessions don't satisfy and ultimately people can't provide what you're looking for either. So I suggest that we start being satisfied with our income as we have it right now, and as we will have it tomorrow, and at the end of the year, whatever it is, because it is provided to us by God. That does not mean that you don't, if you're working, you don't ask for a raise. That does not mean that if you usually take a three-month vacation to Europe this year, you should probably eliminate it or maybe cut it down to 10 days. It doesn't mean that you have to change your life completely and all of a sudden you can't do anything because you have to save every penny. That is not what it means. But until you can get back to doing all those things that you so enjoy in your retirement life, don't complain. Don't grumble. Be thankful. You're still here. You have your health. You have your home. You have your children, grandchildren, your family. You still have income. You have a job. Stand on this promise given to us in Philippians 4 and 19. And it says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." God has given Jesus all the riches of heaven and everything in the world. And Jesus has them, and he wants to give it to each one of you according to his perfect will. Be thankful for the basics of life: home, car, insurance, eating out once in a while, your community, your land, your church, your ministers, your friends, your neighbors. Matthew 6:33 tells us, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." There is nothing under the sun that God doesn't know that you will need. And if you seek him first, he has promised to provide for every single need that you will have in your life. Everything will be added to you. Want what you have, even if you don't have everything you want. Let me say it differently. The key to contentment is not having everything you want, but wanting, appreciating, enjoying, basking in what you already have. How can we become satisfied in every situation? God has so ordered the world and your personal circumstances that no matter what situation you're in right now, we have everything we truly need to be content. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." I'd like you to keep this in mind today. You can have everything you think you want, and if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as the head and not the tail of your life, if you don't have a personal relationship with him, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know that Jesus knows your name, if you find yourself counting every penny and not sharing, then you are the poor, not the other people around you. If you fit on any of this, you are the poor. Unless Jesus is enough, you will never have enough. The reason many of us are discontent is that we really don't believe that Jesus is enough. We understand and we read the promises, and the pastor tells you to stand in the promises, but how many of us are actually holding on every day to the promises of God? The first one will be, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will provide for all your needs." everything that we do, everything we pray for, in the will of God, God, like a good father, will provide for us. He will not keep anything away. He is not trying to take advantage of circumstances to teach us lessons. That's what we humans do. God loves you unconditionally. The reason many of us are discontent is that we really don't believe that Jesus is enough. We need to change this. And the only way we can change this is by standing on his promises and on his word. Be content with what God has given you now. Today, don't let anything steal your joy. Don't become a servant to every bad news you hear or advertisement you see, or don't think that you are missing out on something. Be content. Be rich in Jesus. Let us pray. Father, truly your grace is all we need. But far too often our minds can be consumed with things that only money can buy. And it takes away our focus, Lord, from what is really worth and what is really of lasting value. Things that bring eternal dividends. As we lift up our voice to you this day and turn our hearts toward your unfailing love, we find joy and satisfaction that will not be determined by the events or non-events of this day. When human love is fleeting or disappoints, help us to look to your unfailing love, which always satisfies. We want to listen carefully to you, eat what is good, and delight ourselves in your abundance. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
With my soul.
And now, as we get ready to say goodbye until next week, I want to wish you a good week. I want to wish you contentment, joy. I want to wish that you will find that you have everything you need already, and everything you will ever want and will need in the future will be provided to you by Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. Now receive this blessing from the Lord. May God, who began a good work within you, continue to be at work in your life, bringing everything to completion on the day when Christ Jesus comes back again. May your love for others overflow more and more, and may you keep growing in your knowledge and understanding. Never forget what really matters, so that you may live a pure and blameless life until Christ's return. Have a wonderful week. Be safe. God bless you all.